people have questions about what we put the photos, about drawings, about whatever, whatever comes up.
Pilgrimage.
Yeah, pilgrimage. Anybody have any questions? Yes.
Ajahn, for the Apogaya inside Mahabodhi Temple, you know how you showed the statue there? I mean, it seems like the Bodhi tree is more important. Is it just, it's just a, you know, figure to have the statue there? It's not, there's no historical importance.
To having the Buddha image itself, you mean?
Yes.
I think, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Just, you know, different practices of devotion develop over periods of time. And certainly the Bodhi tree, you know, has a huge significance because of its direct historical link to, you know, even though it's not the original, it's, you know, related to the Buddha and it's, you know, mentioned in the suttas. And then, you know, over time, the appearance of Buddha images became more of a, you know, reminder for devotion. Because in the time of the Buddha, you know, there actually, as far as I understand, there weren't, he didn't really encourage a lot of images of himself at that time.
Well, not a lot, meaning
none.
And then probably the first Buddha images started to appear about 300-400 years after the Buddha passed away, and at the very ancient pilgrimage sites, then the images that they used were symbolic, so that the a symbol of a tree would be depicting the Buddha's enlightenment, a symbol of an empty horse, like a riderless horse, would be the symbol of the Buddha's renunciation. The Dhammacakka would be the symbol of the teaching. What are some of the other ones?
The deer
would be the symbol of the first teaching that the Buddha gave. That you have two deer there, and that would be a symbol of the Buddha's first teaching.
The
Buddha's footprints were used as a reminder, so that using a depiction of the actual body or image of the Buddha itself wasn't at all encouraged by the Buddha or early Buddhas, because the emphasis was on the, say, Dhamma Vinaya, the teaching and the training. And the first Buddha images, Afghanistan. That's where the first Buddha images were created, because that was the expansion of the Indian Empire west, and then the expansion of the Greek empires east. So then that the meeting point was in Afghanistan, and there were many ancient temples in Afghanistan, that whole western region, and up the Silk Route north from there.
And it's interesting that when you look at the images from that time,
Gandhara images.
Very Western looking, very like Greek gods.
Well, they were. They were modeled after Apollo.
Yeah.
Who I think is the god of wisdom.
The first few sculptors didn't know how to do they didn't know what was going underneath the robes, so they didn't know how to do the legs. They're really awkward looking. They're very beautiful from their belly up.
That's funny, yeah. What's he have under those robes?
Legs. Legs crossed.
Was there a time in Thailand when I know that there used to be forests all over Thailand, but was there a time where monks could go all the way from the bottom to the top of Thailand just throughout a whole year and just wander all over the entire country unhindered?
Well, yeah, sure. It's only very recent, but it's the actual hindrance is it's walking. You can go wherever you want walking. Like some of one of Ajahn Chah's teachers, Ajahn Kinnerly, he wandered through Thailand, up into the north, Laos, Burma, and into India, wandered the holy sites before the time of any kind of modern railway or road system, and then wandered back again. He was gone for, I don't know, 15 years or something.
I was wondering if and I know, you know, pilgrims came from China to India and back again. And would pilgrimage have continued even during the period where Buddhism was dormant or non-existent in India?
I think that I think after the, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
I think because historically the great monastic universities and monasteries were destroyed, and there wasn't really much of a reason to go. And so I don't know. It's hard to say. But it was certainly with the advent of the British colonial period in India, they relied on the Chinese pilgrims' accounts of their travels into the holy sites to try to figure out where these places were, and do they exist in this day? And many were found.
It seems like the memory would have continued in Sri Lanka.
I was just going to add that.
That's true.
What we haven't talked about so far is, you know, the pilgrimage sites in Sri Lanka, which are incredible because they're very ancient. You know, all the wars that went back and forth between India and Sri Lanka, and the conquerors, you know, that would come in and then would get beaten back, and some of the very ancient sites like Anuradhapura or Polonnaruwa have a very, very strong flavor of India, because they came not too long after that, and are much better preserved, not destroyed. So, I mean, they also would go through periods of decline and renovation, but were much more intact, just like mostly grown over, and have been in recent years, you know, very finely restored and taken care of. So there's a lot of incredible pilgrimage sites in Sri Lanka now that are just starting to open up more and more as the Sri Lankan civil wars are starting to die down. It's getting easier to spend time there. So probably good to do it now before the wars start again.
I have a question. So would you consider pilgrimage, how would you consider pilgrimage of this modern world? Like, if we take the plane there, would it consider, if we go by bus, would it consider pilgrimage?
How much can you get away with? Still be a pilgrimage?
That's still a pilgrimage. That's what I'm asking. I'm not really good at walking long distance.
Well, nowadays...
Bicycle is allowed. Bicycle counts.
There you go. Nowadays there's a direct flight from Bangkok to Bodh Gaya or to Gaya. The Gaya airport is 10 miles from Bodhgaya. So, people will go for the day. No, from Bangkok. It's different. So, a lot of it is how one holds it and what one's purpose is. Gajan Jayasaro, the last couple of years he's been going for his birthday. He usually tries to do something special on his birthday. So he'll go do a pilgrimage, but then he'll go and make offerings at schools in Bodh Gaya and try to support some schools there. So he'll go for like 2 days or 3 days. And you can... you fly right there and get on the plane and go back again.
Maybe 10 miles from the airport to the site, that would do it.
Well, even that, yeah.
But it's also nice to, if you have the opportunity to go to save some time, to savor it and really enjoy it. Because I've been to India twice, and the first time I had a couple of months. And I could just go to Bodh Gaya and stay for 3 weeks. Yeah. And just kind of go back and forth, little bits and pieces, settled in. Studied the Dhammacakka Sutta, and just really got into the contemplative side. And then the next time I went, which was on more of a quick tour from Thailand for just 2 weeks to all the holy sites, it was interesting and it was good in its own way, but you just don't have the opportunity to kind of really sink into it. So, yeah.
I would love to go to Thailand with my dad sometime, but I don't know, I don't know how to do it. It's very expensive to get there, and then it's not that expensive to travel, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you just take
there's
a
lots
bus,
of
have to walk on out of town for like 7 hours, or?
Yeah, there's all of the above. I mean, there's lots of different ways of doing. Depends on the amount of time you have.
Do I have to learn Thai?
No.
That would be great.
No, that'd be a longer endeavor. Yeah.
Well, that makes it easy.
Yeah.
Do you plan to leave any trips or to the
building? I missed the last one. The one that Ajahn Karun Dhamma was just talking about. 2008, yeah, I was supposed to be leading that, and then I got sick a few days before the departure, and so I haven't gone since. It's one of the things I'd like to do, but if I did it, I'd really want to do it, so probably more than 2 weeks, mm-hmm. 3 weeks, a month, no rush, really go and practice at the sites.
What's the mileage from Lumbini to Bodh Gaya in miles?
Well, first, if somebody knows the answer to that, they can answer. But just to know that 1 mile in India does not equal a mile in America.
It's
1 mile in India is at least 50 or 100 miles.
Because there's nothing on this.
Well, it's just, it's because it's roads that are about this wide, and, what we would consider, two lanes of traffic is about 5 lanes, and people, it's crowd, and it's very slow, and, cows and people, and no freeways, and it takes forever to get from one place to another, and that's if you're lucky that the bus doesn't break down. And
if you read Ajahn Suchito's Nick Scott's Pilgrimage in India, you realize that was written 20 years ago. There's twice as many people in India now as there was when Ajahn Suchito was there. Yeah. And it sounds horrible when Ajahn Suchito was there.
Yeah. Okay.
So just knowing the miles, they're all, long travel, long days travel between the two of, between many of the sites. Yeah.
If we bought a portable bike, would that be possible to?
Oh yeah,
people bike home. Yeah.
Ajahn Tiru Dhammo did that as a layperson. He bought a bike in Mountain bike in India. India has these, they have one style of bike and they had one style of car in the old days. They're just really durable. I think it was modeled on the old rally bicycle. And they just lasted forever. And now they weren't that spiffy, but they really lasted. And yeah, he did that as a layperson. He rode his bike around India. Yeah. So that's definitely a way of doing it.
Kim Jane, do you remember that pilgrimage in 2008? And she sent me back a picture of the Buddha's walking path.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looking at that particular picture, suddenly there the Buddha was walking right there.
Yes.
So it must, if you're at that site, bring it home.
Yes.
It does.
Yes, so that's something the actual feeling of being in the place where the Buddha lived and taught, and his presence was there, and then of course, you know, one's own kind of extension of one's imagination. But then it carries with, you know, you have 2,500 years of people who have faith in the Buddha. Being there, recollecting the same things, it's very powerful. It's very, very palpable.